I want to say, yes. Steve, you are one of the most important people in my life. And I'm just eternally grateful for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Oh, you got a mic.
I think it's on now, I think.
If you're 4 to 8 years old, I'm sorry, I forgot you. You can line up in the back and go down for Kingdom Kids. 4 to 8 year olds, you are allowed to go to Kingdom Kids. Have fun.
Yes, we are really enjoying this, being with you guys, actually starting to learn the names. We usually only hear once a year, and it's just very hard to remember names. And this time, we're here long enough, it's starting to stick a little bit, so that's good. I like sticking. She was talking about encouraging words, and Joe, this morning I was praying, and I saw God reach inside you and enlarge your heart. He was literally increasing your capacity to care for people, to love people, to walk with people. And it was just an incredibly gentle kind of mantle coming on you right now to love and care for people. And it was incredible. Just watching it happen was really incredible. And Alex and Kayleen, I was early this morning, I don't know what time, probably 3:30, 4 o'clock, I was asking the Lord, what do I need to learn from the anointing that's on you guys' life? And this incredible ability to do business, to have the wisdom to do it right. And I was just praying for you and thinking about you and mulling through my mind. And the Lord said this to me. He said, I have given Alex and Kayleen a perfect blend of entrepreneurial plus integrity.
Amen.
And it is the integrity of your dealing with people and you're dealing with circumstance, and you're dealing with situations that actually is it's the spark, it's the dynamo that actually drives what God's doing in your lives. And so I just want to bless you. There are a lot of people that have a business sense, but they tend to start thinking, well, that's just business. And they lose their Christian values in the midst of doing business. And you guys have held your integrity through every part of that. And heaven is blessing you for that in just a supernatural way. It's an extraordinary blessing on you. And I was asking the Lord this morning that I want to be touched by that thing you carry. Because it's a very, very special anointing. And I want to bless you guys with it. Gabriel, as I was praying this morning, I just saw you, and I saw the incredible mental capacity that God has given you. There is no limit to what you're able to do. And as you just really yield your mind and your thoughts and your heart and your study to Him, He is going to give you some clarity for this next season that's greater than you've had. And I just found myself praying for you this morning and just blessing you this morning. And just, it's awesome. Awesome to see God at work in you. So anyway, we did bring our books to all again this morning. There's a series we're starting on grace. The first two are out there. The third book in this series will be out this year, and it'll actually be called Grace and Peace. So some of what I'm sharing in this season is kind of the material that will be in that next book. But anyway, those are here. We're not going to have our book stall with us probably again for a while because we're flying up next time. So I don't carry books when we're flying. It's just no fun. And then this book is out there, and we're going to talk a little bit this morning. We're talking about the fruit of peace. And one of the sections in this really deals with the idea of fruit and what fruit actually looks like. So please, the books will be open for a little while after service. We are not product pushers, and we don't need to push product. No. But our instruction was to write it for the next generation. And so it's there for you. Please make use of it. And your name is gone. See, I just was so good on names. And Ian?
Dixie.
Boy, it went out of my head. I looked at you and it went out of my head. Asian names are so much fun. trying to teach your brain to hold on to it. Oh, Jesus, help me. Okay, the fruit of peace. In Galatians chapter 5, we have this amazing statement by Paul where he lists the fruit of the Spirit. In Scripture, we have a list of fruit and we have a list of gifts. They're two very distinct, different things. Gifts of the Spirit are just what it's called. They're gifts that are given to us that can work out through our lives. You don't have to do anything to earn a gift of the Spirit. A gift of the Spirit is a gift. And so, getting people to operate in the gifts of the Spirit is actually relatively easy. Getting people to operate in fruit of the Spirit is another whole question. Because the fruit of the Spirit are not gifts, they're something that grows in us. And so peace is something that is, it's a gift from God in the sense it is in His nature, but to live in peace is something we grow in. And so when we begin to talk about this idea of fruit and peace, or the fruit of peace, which is in that listing, that's what we're talking about. So we use the word fruit a lot, but the way we think of fruit is we mostly think of something we can eat. But actually fruit is the reproductive part of a plant. It's the piece that holds the seed. So when you eat fruit, you're eating the nourishment that was created to produce life in the seed. So when a fruit falls to the ground, that nourishment, that fruity piece that we like to eat, is actually the nourishment that the seed uses for it to grow and reproduce. So when a plant thinks of its fruit, it's not thinking of food. It's thinking of reproduction. Yeah. So when we begin to think about a fruit of the Spirit, whether it's love, joy, peace, patience, all these different, lots of fruit, we need to think of it not in terms of something that we consume, but something that grows as a reproducing part of the nature of God. A fruit of the Spirit, by definition, is a character trait of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, by His responsibility, is that the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything by Himself. He doesn't speak of Himself. He doesn't communicate from Himself. He communicates as a revelation of what's on Jesus' heart. So Jesus is revealed by the work of the Holy Spirit in you. So everything the Holy Spirit produces in you is a character trait of Jesus. So that means patience as a fruit of the Spirit is the character trait of Jesus, the patience in His character being reproduced into your life. The same with peace, same with love, same with joy. So when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about something that is planted inside of you. And if you'll let it grow, it will produce the same nature as was in Jesus. So that same peace that was in Jesus, when He walked through all the stuff He walked through and when He calmed the storm and all the stories we know about Jesus, that peace is being produced in us by the Holy Spirit. Now that's extraordinary. That means the Holy Spirit is reproducing that, because when you came to Christ and when you received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you received this seed, this divine seed was planted in you, and the Holy Spirit's job is to nurture that and grow that in us. So if you want to live in peace, we then need to nurture that seed that's been planted inside of us. That makes sense? So when we speak of the fruit of peace or a character trait of Jesus, because all of the fruits are character traits, when we speak of those things, we're not talking about just a static trait or character trait. That person is peaceful. We're talking about something that's in you that has the power to reproduce itself. So the peace that's in you has the power to reproduce peace in every circumstance you walk into. It has creative power because it's a seed. It has life in it. And so the fruit of peace in you is not just making you peaceful. It's making you a peacemaker. It's making you a carrier of his peace, so that every circumstance you walk into, you're sharing, you're releasing, you're carrying the peace of the Lord Jesus with you into that circumstance. Make sense?
Yes.
So let's look at a few things. Number one, the fruit of peace separates us to God. The scripture there, and I think you have it in your bulletin, is Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So pursuing peace or growing in peace or having peace in you is connected to this sanctifying work of God. Now, sanctification is that you're being set apart for something. In the Old Testament, something was sanctified was something that had been blessed and set apart for God's use. This is for God's use. And so when we come to Christ, we are in a process of being sanctified. We're being a part of we're in the process of being set apart so that we belong to God and we can be used by him and represent him well. And so there's a sanctifying work. We looked at one verse early on about, you know, how it's the God of peace that sanctifies us. It's God at work changing you into the image of Christ. Now, the old model of sanctification that I grew up in, and I grew up in the Good Baptist days, and in our Good Baptist days, the picture of sanctification was this, that we are covered in Christ's righteousness. So all God sees when he looks at us is Christ's righteousness. And under the shroud of that righteousness, all these imperfections are being worked out inside of us. And the implication is, if you remove that covering of righteousness, God would see what an awful person we really are, and he wouldn't accept us. That's what I grew up in. I no longer believe that. I believe that sanctification is a seed put inside of us that grows from the inside out. And when God looks at us, he's seeing the seed of the righteousness of his Son in us, and that's what he's responding to. He's more interested in the righteousness growing in us than he is concerned about the bits and pieces that aren't quite there yet. So we don't live in fear of somehow this covering of righteousness not being there. There's in the freedom to sin. This is understanding the grace of God in our lives, understanding the gift of righteousness we've been given, and understanding that as believers, we're to be growing into full maturity so that the nature of Christ lives out through us, the character traits lives out through us. So the fruit of peace is a part of that transforming work that goes on inside of us. In this book, I talk about this more, and it might intrigue some of you, but the fruit of the Spirit grow in certain environments. Love, joy, and peace are not found outside of the presence of God. You don't get in a joyous world and find joy. You find joy in His presence, and then you go into a joyous world and you're carrying something from His presence. So love, joy, and peace are found in that intimacy, in that upward relationship with Him. It's birthed out of this sanctifying work that's a transforming work where my insides are being conformed to be more like Jesus. But there's another group, and that's things like patience. You don't get patience in the presence of God. You get patience around people that are making you impatient. Because we're growing in that ability to behave differently in environments. One of the writers about the fruit of the Spirit says, many of the fruit of the Spirit grow best in a toxic environment. How do you grow in kindness? You grow in kindness when people are being unkind. And you choose to live by that inner life of God. And you respond back in kindness when what's coming at you is the opposite of that. I mean, I haven't learned your name yet, sir. Again? Rob. I mean, I'm just so impressed with Rob this morning. I mean, that's a true dad that lets his daughter stick stickers all over his face.
Yeah.
I mean, my respect for Rob has just grown enormously this morning. And for this father's heart that says, come on, guys. How do you grow in kindness? You sit in church with funny stickers on your nose. Because you love your daughter. Hello? We grow in some of these things. And then there are other things like faithfulness. Faithfulness doesn't grow in your vertical relationship with God. It doesn't grow in your interaction with other people. Faithfulness grows as an internal commitment that I'm going to be a faithful person. It's birthed out of that way that we live as people, that we choose to walk in faithfulness even when it's tough to do it. And so there's different environments that fruit grow in. Why is that important? Because come back to peace. Peace isn't the absence of conflict in your environment. It's the presence of Him in you that is carried into this environment and living out of you into this environment. So peace isn't the absence of confidence, it's the presence. I want us to understand right through this, we are so caught in this idea that peace is the absence of conflict, but it's not. Peace is the presence of someone living his life out through you. And as a fruit of the Spirit, that's one of the ways it grows. Number two, peace grows with deliberate effort. In Romans 14:19. So then pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Pursue things that make it. So the fruit of the peace is actually something we go after. We actually have to deliberately think about doing something about it. We actually have to run after it. The word pursue means to run after with the purpose of catching. I mean, literally, it's what the word means. So there's actions, there's words, using a soft word in a difficult situation. There's ways we pursue peace. We literally think in terms of how can we pursue peace? How can we make this peaceful? Too often, our actions have a tendency to tear each other down instead of build each other up. Have you been around Christians much? Sally and I have been in ministry for 53, almost 54 years now. Actually, it is 54 years in 14th of February. Will be 54 years of ministry for us. One of the things we do have done in ministry, not my favorite thing to do, but one of the things we do is marriage counseling. And so we've read a few books on it over the years. And there's some consistent things that you find when you read in books about relationship. And one of the consistent things that it's in almost every book is that if we want a successful relationship, there needs to be at least 7 affirmations for every correction. I think it's a really good rule. What if in church we made sure there were 7 affirmations before we tried to bring something we feel needs to be adjusted? It would change the way we function. That's why the culture of honor is such an important part of what we believe as a body of people. We believe that no matter what somebody's walking through, that there's gold in them. And we want to call the gold out and celebrate what God is doing in their life and not be quite so caught up with what's not happening. But too many times, because we get very sin conscious in church, and I'm not pro-sin, please hear me, don't stone me quite yet. Because we get so sin conscious, it's like we're looking for some reason to accuse somebody instead of calling the gold out of that person and calling them into their identity and calling them into wholeness. The fruit of peace is walking into a challenging, difficult situation and beginning to call the gold out of that person. How many of you would have liked your church discipline to feel a little bit more like that? I believe over this next few years, it's going to become more normal. We're going to, and it's not excusing sin. Please don't hear that. I think if we understood the life of God growing in us, sin actually becomes even more abhorrent to us. Because we have no desire for it. But too often we're wanting to produce inward transformation by external pressure. But the fruit of the Spirit are a seed. And if I can nurture the seed, if I can grow the seed, if I can speak to the seed, if I can prophesy to the seed, if I can encourage that life of God growing in you, then your external behavior is going to change, be changed by that life of God that's working inside of you. That's what the fruit of the Spirit are doing. I don't think we talk enough about the fruit. Maybe because we don't understand it. Maybe because, I don't know why. But religion has tried to conform us by external pressures. Now, listen, I believe in spiritual disciplines. I believe in fasting. I believe in prayer. I believe in the spiritual disciplines. But I don't think the spiritual disciplines are to produce the life of God in us. I think the spiritual disciplines are to strengthen the life of God that's already seated inside of me. If the life of God isn't growing in you, a spiritual discipline's not going to change you. It just becomes work. I encourage you, please fast. You guys have had some great stuff happening in fasting, and I want to see the life of God encouraged through the internal work as well as the spiritual discipline. Yes, read the Word. Yes, memorize Scripture. Yes, pray. Yes, fast. But let's understand why we're doing that. And we're doing it to allow this life of God in us to be the primary thing that we're thinking about and interacting with and fellowshipping with. The fruit of peace. It's powerful, guys. Pursue things that make for peace and building each other up. Number three. The fruit of peace grows with each choice we make. Romans 12. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Is that a scary verse? See, I'm not responsible for how Joe responds to me. But I'm responsible for every response I have toward him. So when we're pursuing peace, I can't control somebody else's responses. Control is always negative. But I can control my responses. And if my responses are always at peace and always bringing peace, we're going to start living in an environment with each other where there's a lot more peace. And there's a lot less compass. The challenge we have is we tend to get in difficult environments, and then we want to figure out whose fault it is that something happened. We want to blame somebody for the dispeace that we're feeling. And instead of pursuing peace, looking for peace, being the peacekeeper, we're starting to figure out whose fault it is that there isn't peace. The moment I start bringing blame into a circumstance, I'm actually bringing in confusion. So as far as it depends on me, be at peace with all men. Do your part to maintain peace. If there's confusion, you be the peacemaker. In Corinthians, it says, God's not a God of confusion, he's a God of peace. So if God is at work in the midst of a circumstance, the manifestation of him being at work is going to be peace. Boy, this feels so counterintuitive to our experience. But it's God's heart for us. Sometimes, this would never happen in Huron. It's only in other churches where this happens, okay? We use speaking the truth in love as an excuse to be rude. We use our desire to speak the truth to somebody that we think they need to hear. But in the midst of it, we actually cause... How many of you have ever think you might have done that just a little bit? Okay. When Sally and I were kind of being discipled out of some very religious control, I was raised in a very controlling religious environment, and I grew up where control was quite normal. And so we needed some help getting out of that cycle. And I remember when our spiritual dad set us down, and the example he used is, don't ever drive a tank over a plywood bridge.
Think about it.
Think about it a minute. What he meant by that is that flimsy bridge of relationship you have with that person is more valuable than the truth you think they need to hear. We're in church, you gotta speak the truth, brother.
Yeah.
But we've treated relationships as disposable. And God values us living as peacemakers, where we bridge the gaps in these things and we treat that relationship as value. Yes, the truth needs to get across it, but strengthen the bridge first.
Yeah.
Affirm 7 times first, and then bring your little bitty question. It would change us. The fruit of peace is this life of God growing in us that makes you more and more a peacemaker. You can walk into the most challenging, difficult circumstances, and you can actually bring peace.
Yep.
We could use some peacemakers in our political situation. We could use some peacemakers in lots of arenas right now. Number 4. I had some more on that one, but worry about you later. The fruit of peace must be preserved and protected. Ephesians 4. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit is actually quite fragile. I wish it wasn't, but it's actually quite fragile. If you study revival history, almost every revival in history, as far back as we have good records, almost every revival was marked by a fairly significant unity of the Spirit coming into a group of people. Sometimes it was a prayer meeting, sometimes a small group, sometimes a bigger group. But every revival, you can find that coming together of the Spirit where they're believing, they're contending, they're going after something, they're believing for something, and the Holy Spirit begins to move lots of different ways. I mean, there's a revival happening in North Georgia right now that has got some just unusual stuff. It's all happening in baptisms. So cool. It's just completely different than anything I've ever heard of. But it's pretty cool. But there's a unity in it. But in the same way that every revival, the beginning is marked by a unity of the Spirit, the breaking up of that revival is marked by division in the team that started it. Because the enemy comes in to that unity of the Spirit, and he does everything he can to destroy it, because he knows if that unity stays intact, he's powerless. But if he can destroy the unity, then he can break up what God's doing. And over again in church history, it's happened. But we're told that one of the antidotes to that is peace. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Father, teach us to be peacemakers that recognize when the enemy's coming against our unity. And we don't fight or blame or point fingers. We don't try to fix it by any means other than we introduce God's peace into the situation. Not everybody's going to respond. Not everybody's going to be susceptible. Not everybody's going to agree. Not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to be willing to live at peace. Sal and I have relationships that have great value to us that aren't with us anymore. Not because we don't want them with us, but they don't want to be with us. And that's okay. I don't want to control people. But I do want unity of the Spirit. I want to live and be a carrier of peace so that when we're in an environment, it's more at peace than when we're not in that environment. And I want to learn to walk in that kind of peace in extraordinary ways, in extraordinary measure. I don't know if this verse is in your notes or not. 2 Corinthians 13:11, is that one in there? Yeah. Good. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace. And the love of God and peace will be with you. How much priority have we given to that? I believe, let me back up. In 30 years from the time we planted Dayspring until we stepped down as pastor, we never had a doctrinal discussion in our eldership. No, you didn't hear me. In 30 years, we never once had a doctrinal discussion in our eldership. Not because doctrine doesn't matter, but because his presence is the glue that holds us together. In church history, the church has mastered the art of separating over doctrine. I mean, I'm Baptist, so I can say this. How many breeds of Baptists are there? There are a multitude. And everyone separated on a nuance of doctrine. We've perfected the art of separating. Religion has perfected the art of separating. But in this next season of the body of Christ, he wants us to perfect the art of unifying. Not by ignoring doctrinal issues. I mean, I want us to have open discussion. I want to be a place where we can talk about what we believe on certain things. And you know, I've worked next to some people that I don't agree with at all. But we have a common mission of seeing Jesus exalted. This is scary for some of you. Some of us that love our doctrinal rightness. You know, I figured out the older I get, that the less I know.
Okay.
you know, I believe in eternal security. I am absolutely convinced that eternal security is true. I'm convinced. Utterly convinced. I am also convinced that you can lose your salvation. Now you're all going to think I'm a schizophrenic or something. Guys, don't get so intense. Now, I know which side of that equation I would fall on in the end, because I'd rather be eternally secure than eternally insecure. But stop making those kinds of, especially when Scripture doesn't make it clear. And you can really prove a pretty solid case for both from Scripture. Let's be careful in our unity that we let the Spirit of peace work even when there's challenge. One of the things Paul went after the most was when the Judaizers came in and tried to put legalism into the Gentile church. It's one of the things he went hardest after. Don't do that. Let's let the church become who it was created to be, empowered by the Spirit. One of the greatest moments in my life was when a night that I saw a witch doctor come to Christ. And it's a longer story than I can have time to tell right now, but for several hours that night, we just presented the simple presence of Jesus. And somewhere about 2 o'clock in the morning, this witch doctor threw down his club and said, "I accept." And just this glorious receiving of Christ as his Savior. He woke up the kids sleeping around him, and he had them go wake the entire village. The entire village came together about 2 or 3 in the morning, and he spent the hours between then and sunrise telling the whole village everything he'd learned for the last few hours. We're sitting there with our translator telling us what he's saying. It was unbelievable. I mean, everything was repeated as he led the entire village. Every man, woman, and child came to Christ. One night, I was a wreck. Changed me forever. Watching an entire village come to Christ. And now we're watching of people with no Bible. Their language wasn't in writing yet, so there's no written word that they have. We had to bring our own translators in because they didn't have people within the tribe that could speak the trade language, so there was no Bible we could give them in a language they could. How much do we trust the Holy Spirit? And over the next year, we watched as this church grew and matured because the Holy Spirit was speaking. He was teaching them Jesus. Today, they have the Bible in their language. Their language has been translated, and they have that in their language today. But that's still one of the strongest churches we have in that region because it was birthed in the Spirit. I believe this church has been birthed in the Spirit. And I believe that your willingness to be together and to even when you don't agree on everything, I hope you don't agree on everything. I mean, it would be a terrible, insipid world if we agreed on everything. if there's no diversity of thought, if there's no fivefold ministry, I mean, we think different. That's the way God put us together. We don't argue about the stuff, but let's have open conversations. But let's be people who live by the food of peace and become carriers of peace so that we're peacemakers in all that we do. Can we stand up? I got a little bit off my notes today, but that's okay. I should know your name and I don't. Yeah. Again?
Becky.
Becky? For the last about 10 minutes, there has been just a very strong presence of God resting over you. And He's been healing you and releasing you. It's like your mind has come alive in some areas right now. And he's giving you revelation of some stuff you faced that you didn't understand why it was happening. And he's just giving you that revelation of why it's happening. So I just bless you in Jesus' name as you walk in this and allow this to work out in your life. I just bless you in that in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. I want you to just, in your mind's eye, just see the Holy Spirit putting that seed of peace down inside you. And then just right now, ask the Holy Spirit to water that seed, to nurture that seed, to grow that seed, to bring that seed to life in an incredibly powerful way. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Father, let us be a people that carry your peace. Let us be a people that produce the fruit of peace to such an extent that when we walk in the room, others are affected by that peace that we carry. So Holy Spirit, come. If you've really struggled to find peace in your life, would you just put your hand up real quick? And I want to pray for you. Holy Spirit, come. 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 Father, we're just releasing your peace into this amazing body of people. Holy Spirit, come. Release your peace. Release your peace. Release your peace. Release your peace, Lord. Release your peace, Lord. Release your peace. Release your peace. Release your peace, Lord. Release your peace. Holy Spirit, come. Release your peace in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Whew. Let's take a moment. I think there's a few in this room that the Holy Spirit has convicted you this morning about some relationships that are important to you, that you've been very dismissive toward those. And just take a moment right now and say, Lord, give me a value for relationships that's the same as your value. If that's you, just take a moment right now and say, Lord, we need that value for relationship. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit come. As I looked back a minute ago, I saw the Lord putting into your hand, it was almost like a fireball, but it was peace that he's given you that you can take and release into certain situations. I feel like he's increasing your capacity to give that to others. And you've been asking it for you, but he says, if you'll begin to release this into others, I'm going to increase it in you. If you want to grow it in you, let that be released into other people. I just see that happening. I saw him doing that a minute ago. So, Holy Spirit, if you need physical healing, put your hand up. We had a couple incredible healings this last few weeks in Springfield. Keep your hand up high. If you have a hand up near you, would you go lay a hand on that person, please? Keep your hands up until somebody gets with you. I need a lady to help me over here. Would you... you can help me? Good. Okay, good. Okay, Father. Take about 30 seconds. I need somebody over here as well. Is somebody with her yet? Somebody get there with her, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Take about 30 seconds and ask them what they need healing for. What's the specific that God wants to do? And then I want you to, as soon as you know what the problem is, I want you to take 30 seconds and just command healing in the name of Jesus. Just speak to their body. Speak to that circumstance. There's autoimmune things. There's damage, physical damage things. Holy Spirit's working right now in this room. Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do. Release your healing power in this room in Jesus' name. Father, let the power of peace begin to manifest through us. Next time we're up in March, we're going to be talking about the power of peace and the way that peace is involved in this whole thing of healing. That if you're at peace and carrying the peacemaker, then healing actually becomes easier for you to see through your life and the life of others. So, Father, we bless that in Jesus' name. We bless that in Jesus' name. Your healing presence. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.